welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans.
And today is November 20th.
That's right.
2018.
Right.
All right.
Thanksgiving week.
I often reminisce about two things around this time of year. One is Thanksgiving memories. Mm. I don't know if you have any favorite Thanksgiving memories.
Thanksgiving has not been good for me in the last 8 years.
Not
it's
great.
Too many people dying around Thanksgiving,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's colored it. But yeah. Anyway.
I think there are two things I associate mainly with Thanksgiving. One was one time when a friend of mine actually said, hey, you want to go out for pizza? And then he drove upstate New York.
Oh, for pizza?
For pizza.
Oh, my God.
I said, okay, fine, I'll go. I'll go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And then the pizza place was closed.
Oh.
So we turned around, and then he booked it on the New York State Thruway at up to 120 miles
oh
per hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Fastest I ever got.
Jeez. Not in your VW, obviously. No.
And we got pulled over, and we got arrested.
Oh, oh, oh.
And
arrested, not just ticketed.
Apparently, they'll just ticket you if you're up to 99.
Oh, my God. He went 120, and you didn't bat an eyelash?
You know, it was kind of interesting watching those little dashed lines on the road going by like...
What kind of car was it?
A Cadillac.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he was a real boat.
So you were arrested. You had to go to the
actually, what happened was they actually took us to the judge at like 2 in the morning at his home, woke him up out of bed. The judge was wearing like his night clothes.
Oh, my God.
And we're at his bar in his basement, and that became the court.
This sounds like Alice's Restaurant story.
Right.
You know, like
and they were gonna arrest Joe.
Yeah.
And hold him, and then let me go so I could drive home. But I had no driver's license, so they couldn't arrest me because I had committed no crime.
Drive home in his car?
Yeah, but I had never driven a car in my life, so they couldn't do that. So they had to release us. So they drove us back to the car.
Oh, my God.
I don't know, it was about 18, 19.
Oh, you were really young.
Oh, yeah. And
stupid to go to do that.
That was pretty stupid, sure. Yeah.
I didn't realize you were that young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we got... And then the cops left, and
did he have a ticket?
And then we went. Joe reached in his pocket to find the keys, and he'd lost the keys.
Oh my God!
And it was getting freezing cold, and we were not dressed for the occasion, and we hitchhiked to a hot shop along the New York State Thruway, and and then a little later on, the cops, same cops who arrested us, actually came by and said, "What the hell are you people doing here?"
So
yep.
So were the keys left at the police station?
Well, we found that in the morning. I think in the morning the cops actually dropped us off back there. And then when daylight came, they actually found the key. We found the keys.
This is a story you have to tell at a story slam. It's really quite funny.
It was fun.
Now, was that on Thanksgiving?
And I got back home in time. My mother was actually cooking Thanksgiving dinner, and I said, hi.
Wait, so it was the day before?
Yeah, it was Thanksgiving Eve.
Oh, my
Eve,
gosh.
And
that
course,
is a great story.
And the other, of course, the other one is Alice's Restaurant Massacre with Four Parts Harmony.
Well, that's what it reminds me of. It was like everything can go wrong, goes wrong, and the police and all that. That's a good one.
Maybe the tradition will die out, but the thing is, I actually always look forward to snapping a radio on Thanksgiving Day at various times during the day with the hope that they'll be playing Alice's Restaurant.
Well, some of us, you can get that on an iPhone or something.
Yeah.
If you had
Well, this is for those of you who know what radio is.
Oh,
yeah.
Stop.
Right.
I have a radio and I have a...
Yeah. By the way, have you ever seen the film Alice's Restaurant?
Oh, years ago. I haven't.
It's actually a pretty good film.
Is he in it, actually?
Yes, he is. Yeah. It's a very interesting commentary about sort of the...
It's not Jonathan Demme, is it?
No. It was pretty much an amateurish cast.
Yeah.
But I think they were some of the real people in it.
Yes.
And it was, it was actually a pretty good commentary on what was the mindset about going the way and living in communes at the time, and all the things that can actually go wrong with drug addiction and whatever.
Right.
And it's really quite something. And
And
I had the indelible image of the scenes from the church, restaurant in my mind. And then one time I went to Great Barrington. We actually went to the place where the church was.
Right.
And we actually went bang, 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 knocked on the door for a while.
Yeah.
And Arlo Guthrie's daughter actually
came out
and met us.
Right, yeah. There's a whole...
We had coffee with her.
Yeah, oh, that's nice.
And it was pretty cool, yeah. And actually, the joke was, I don't know if I ever mentioned this before, but because I drive a VW bus. And when I go back out, and I caught my bus is parked next to the railroad tracks. And somebody comes by and looks at the bus, looks at me, goes, "Is that the bus?"
Oh gosh!
I said, not even close.
Yeah, that's funny.
So anyway, those are my Thanksgiving memories.
Yeah, well, I'll have to remember that. I'll have to look that movie up.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah. So I don't go away for Thanksgiving anymore. We just sort of hang out.
Yeah.
So, turkey or no, I don't know. We'll just be around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we did have a city council meeting last night.
It was long. I got home from doing my thing that I had to do, and it was still on. It was 9:55. So I watched it this morning, but I kind of turned it off at about 9:30. I didn't want to hear the rest.
Yeah. I got there late because I had to be, just like we talked a little bit less about voting and elections and whatever. You know, it just seems like once the midterm elections passed, immediately all these other topics mm-hmm. suddenly got big again, like election methods and what's happening, ranked choice
and
voting.
Who do people go to?
I get a lot of calls. Yeah. So I was at a forum up at Harvard, which maybe we'll talk about a little bit later, but it was, then made it to the city council meeting a little bit later,
That was probably when most of the...
Visions of elections methods danced in my head.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Although that was not mentioned. Not on the agenda last night at the city council.
Definitely
not. Some hot stuff was, the First Street Garage situation.
Oh, yeah. So, this is something I think we've addressed a little bit. Actually, when Patrick was on a couple of weeks, we talked a little about it too. So, but I think commencing in 2014...
Something like, because I heard 15, but I think 14.
But there was a big controversy about the Edward J. Sullivan Courthouse, the Middlesex County Courthouse.
Which is that tall building.
The tall building, which has been derelict, empty.
For how long?
Probably close to a decade now.
That's crazy.
Could be more, actually.
Wow.
It's sort of ridiculous. So the state went through a process of disposition. The Division of Capital Assets Management, DCAM, and I think the bidder, people bid on the right to develop it with the condition that they would also address and do remediation of the asbestos problem in the building, which is extraordinarily expensive. So it was Leggett McCall was the company that got the rights.
When?
It was actually around then, and then...
A decade ago.
No. About four.
But you said the city owned it. I don't get it.
No, the city doesn't own the courthouse.
Okay.
What the city owns is the garage, First Street Garage. And then with what happened with the courthouse is that then there was a series of there was, I think that it went before the planning board and they were going to decide on what to do with the disposition of it, and there had to be some accommodation for that. And anyway, then litigation commenced mm-hmm. and continued for quite a while. And it's, I guess, except for the dotting of the I's, I guess all the litigation is done. So now the question comes of, okay, so what's going to happen? And so Leggett McCall is now putting, gearing up again for actually doing the redevelopment of the building. But the redevelopment of the building was in part built upon this presumption that they would be able to utilize some of the parking spaces
for the public
for a long-term lease in the First Street Garage.
Who would be allowed? Leggett McCall or
Leggett
City?
McCall.
Right.
I mean, because city controls that garage.
Right.
And it was a little bit controversial back 3 or 4 years ago when this issue came up. Probably it was more like 4 years ago or mm-hmm. something like that. I think it's about four. And they actually even at the time said that, well, if that can't work out, then they went and approached the people from the Galleria Mall about possibly using some of those spaces. But I'm told by people that know
it's not even that, close.
That deal is a little off the table now, but uh-huh. I don't know if that's for sure. Hmm. And also what's happened in the subsequent years is that the people of the owners of the Galleria Mall are actually considering doing some significant revision to the whole concept of the Galleria Mall. So you might actually see a little bit of housing built into it.
Right.
Maybe, I hope.
Well, because Sears is leaving, right?
Sears is leaving. So if one of the big anchor stores goes, that's the time you might want to actually do something interesting. Personally, I'd just love to see them re-envision. Is that word again?
Yeah.
The whole First Street facade, which to me is like an annoying blank wall.
Yep.
And turn it into something a little more reasonable.
Yeah.
But part of the proposal involves actually eliminating some of the parking that is associated with the Galleria Mall. So,
which is a problem for the neighborhood because...
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that in certain circumstances, having that... whether it's surplus or not is part of the issue, I guess.
Mm.
But having the surplus parking for people to park in the winter when they have to do street cleaning, for plowing, mm-hmm. has been a great luxury. And those spaces like that are disappearing.
So why can't the developer in the bid or something just say, we'll allow 200 spaces for the neighborhood? I don't get that.
Well,
it could be, go ahead.
Well, first off, the Sullivan Courthouse itself has some parking. But with
I keep hearing the number 400 and then 800. I don't know what the difference is.
But not the courthouse. I don't know how many spaces they actually have. But
well, maybe it's 400 in the courthouse.
Yes.
Yeah,
so with the redeveloped building, there would be new businesses and offices and whatever going on there, plus some housing. I think it was something. It was like 24 units of housing or maybe.
Well, that's
more,
the model retail housing special.
So you put some housing in there. Yeah. They lop off a few floors off the building as a bit of a concession to the neighborhood, but it's still they don't have sufficient parking to support the plan. So that's why they went to seek a leasehold agreement with the city garage, which that garage was built at least in part to support the courthouse,
which actually probably attracted a lot of people between lawyers and defendants and everybody else. So would
jurors,
it actually attract the same amount of people?
Well, I don't know. And the other things have happened too. There's been some new development in the area, so
that's
putting
true.
A little bit more of a load on the
garage.
Carlone
brought up the whole thing about North Point and how that's
But I have to say that's something I find perplexing because maybe if you were like right at the edge of North Point, but the truth is that if you're if you're going
to
be working in North
there,
Point,
no?
Well, yes and no. It's not too far. But the thing is, usually you like your accessory parking to be within a certain number of hundred of feet of
Well, the Galleria parking isn't that close to that either, you think about it.
Well, the Galleria parking is really close to the Galleria.
Right,
so that's
but it's
the
not necessarily
for it.
Right, but I'm just saying if they were going to use those sites
I could
as
have
to
this
replace
wrong, but
the courthouse.
They call it accessory parking where you have parking that's not within the premises, but it's used for a particular building.
Okay.
The Galleria space is really a couple blocks away.
Right.
The First Street garage is like a block away, within a block.
Mm.
So it's accessory parking, but it's pretty close. You know, the further away you go, I mean, somebody was talking about, the pressure from Kendall Square. And I said, if you're working in Kendall, you're
Kendall
not parking
is not even really,
at the First Street garage.
That's a whole different area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they're running shuttle buses or something, which
right,
I guess
which is
conceivable.
Possible. Yeah.
You know, but anyway.
Using a scooter.
So.
The last
one. Largely because I'd heard the proposal to do this leasehold agreement on the First Street garage spaces, I just sort of got it in my mind. Well, of course, you got to have to do something like that eventually. So then it was the only thing that was left was some of the details. But then actually a former city councilor, Anthony Galluccio, actually said something, and I went, oh, wait a minute.
Said something in private. To you.
No, he actually said it publicly.
Oh.
And it was like a Facebook publicly.
Oh, okay.
But he pointed out, he said, the right way to do this and the way it's done in other cities is what you do, and this is counterintuitive at first. He says you should just waive the parking requirements for Leggett McCall completely and just say you don't have to provide any parking at all for anybody who lives maybe the people who live in the building. But for anybody who works in the building. Now, what does that mean? Because, I mean, that's counterintuitive to me.
It means that people park in the streets.
Except that all the parking on the street is resident only.
Yeah, so.
So, therefore, that's not available to them. Unless
there's no metered parking there? Might be some.
So, eliminate the metered parking. Or provide a very limited supply.
I don't think a developer would want that.
No, but the thing is that what then happens is that If the developer develops to whatever scale they want to develop, to sort of make things economical for them, and then the people have to commute to work there. The presumption would be you'd want to maximize the number of local people who get there through alternate transportation, but that's not going to be everybody.
Yeah.
So then people who wanted to drive to work in the Sullivan Courthouse building would be on their own. They'd just have to find parking. And guess where they would probably find the parking? In the First Street garage. In other words, even if you waive the parking requirement, the Leggett McCall having to make a leasehold arrangement, the fact that there is that parking garage, and if there really is surplus parking, then people will simply drive there and they will rent.
So that exists, and how many spaces does the First Street garage have?
I forget. You know, it's
so, and it's used.
You know, it supports some things.
Well, since the courthouse is gone, how occupied it? Well, I guess that's the part of this policy order was to do some kind of study.
Originally, there was a few years ago, it was made, said flat out, the city study said that there was surplus parking, so that wouldn't be a problem for it to actually provide a long-term lease. Right, so some people are now saying in the in the 3 or 4 years since then that somehow everything's
changed.
Things
have gotten built up,
And to some degree, I think that's true.
And they need to do a new study. Yeah.
Yeah, so there'll be a new study. And honestly, most of that, I think, is not going to be that hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, but I, you know, it's funny how it just escaped my thoughts completely that one possibility is just waive the parking and basically tell the Leggett McCall folks to have their employees go, you're on your own, folks.
Yeah, but they, I could see where there'd be argument that they wouldn't necessarily want to tell their employees, because they may not get the employees they want then.
Well, they wouldn't have reserved parking, so people would have to sort of find parking, and if they found that it was...
saying, but they may want to get some reserved parking.
If they found that there was too competitive or too expensive, then people would be have an incentive, a natural incentive, to seek other forms of transportation. And so the city's policies about transportation demand management would actually... maybe dovetailing rather well with this.
It all sounds good on paper, but I don't think it would work. But that's me. I think it's an interesting idea. It's just that I think that there's too many steps along the way.
Yeah.
I can see where a developer would not want to be take that kind of risk where it's...
Maybe not. But the thing is that if they have the rights to do the development, they could either walk away, which I doubt they would do, or they would find a way to make it work. As best they can.
It seems to me there'll be some meeting of the ground here and there, negotiation.
Yeah. So I think something will get worked out. We'll see.
But certainly, so how did that end up? I forget whether that was at a policy. Well, I guess they all agreed to have the parking study.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a subject of the charter right. It was really just, you know, formal and just kick the can down the road a couple of weeks so that they could discuss it.
Oh, because it had been a charter right.
So now the city, I'm sure they got the message. Right. So they were already starting the study.
They're going to hire another consultant in December to do the parking study. More consultants. Yeah. Okay.
A lot of consultants. We love to do consultants here.
Jeez.
Well, you know, part of the reason I think, and this is the cynic in me, is that sometimes the city, if you're a department head or a city official, you want to be able to say, well, the consultant said this, as opposed to, I have come to this conclusion based on our staff and our research, because then the city council comes back and says, well, I don't believe you, and I'm going to question your judgment or whatever. Wow. And it's kind of deflects a little bit if you can actually say, well, we brought in this professionals.
But then they could say, we don't like what they said.
They can, and they've been known to do that.
I know. Well, the whole vision.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's a whole other
That's a whole other can of worms.
By the way, I got the notification, I think it was yesterday, the day before, that our Envision Cambridge Advisory Committee
is one, scheduled, right?
We're going to actually have one last meeting on, I think, December 5th.
Oh. Right?
I mean, you know, I think at this point they must be already putting the report together. I'm still sort of astonished at what little a role we got to play in any of this, which is, I think, part of the problem. Not that I think we ever should have been authoring anything, but, you know, the fact that, you know, the working groups sort of generated wish lists. The advisory committee, pretty much all we ever really got to do was to review the presentations to see whether this was going to be a good presentation or not, which really disappointed me. Some of the suggestions I had made early on, like actually it was a subject of a city council order at last night's meeting, a non-controversial one, was about there wanting to be an inter-city conversation about housing, you know, the affordable housing crisis, as it said in the order. And, you know, one of the things that I really stressed...
Oh, regional.
Regional.
Right,
in other words, not just city unilaterally trying to solve all the housing problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, we have to do this regionally or else it's completely worthless. And, you know, I was pretty insistent on it, and it never happened at all.
Yeah.
And it was one of the greatest disappointments about the whole process for me, is that They never got regional. It was all unilateral. Cambridge is going to do it all. And I just think that's ludicrous, especially when it comes to housing. So anyway, you know, maybe something will come.
It's not even in a recommendation, though, that Envision has, that they need to work with other
cities? I'd have to look real careful. I think I maybe think people just understand that, but it certainly wasn't part of the process. So another big thing that happened last night was something I can't, I'm not going to claim any great understanding, was that the there were a couple of items on unfinished business having to do with the surveillance ordinance, the proposed surveillance ordinance, which has been batted around now for, I think, a couple of years, and a street performer, an update to the street performer ordinance, which has been around for 20
Well, that
years.
Surveillance, I thought, was a policy order, wasn't it? Was it both?
Originally, it was a policy order, I think, from Denise Simmons.
Because I've seen number.
But now, then it was unfinished business. And then it was the manager came back with the report from the law department.
Right,
where they had hammered out some language that seemed to address most of the city councilors' concerns.
Right.
No, not all.
Right.
So, you know, they had a lot of argument about it. I think Councillor Kelly felt like it was being rushed along.
Right, he said this was not that he had been sitting there for 3 hours. This is why I don't think it needs to get passed tonight. I guess he voted.
Well, I think, I mean, his point was simply that.
Or passed to the ordinance.
We've already been working on this for a year or more. What's the insistence on having it be done by the end of December? And I kind of agreed. I said, yeah, there isn't, doesn't seem to be any objective reason why it has to be done by the end of December. You know, is it because, you know, is the police department considering doing something really
fishy in January?
So it's
not like
it's
a petition that has to be expired. There's nothing to do with that.
No. Municipal ordinances are not like zoning amendments.
Right.
So they don't expire.
So was there an answer to that?
Well, so in the end, so the mayor was very insistent on, we've got to get this through, now. So
all it means, it goes to second reading. It's
right,
not a done deal,
and then he said then it would be amended. It was interesting, you know, the ordinance proposed on itself is voluminous.
Yeah, it's like 19 pages or something.
And the law requires that you, when you do an ordinance change, you have to publish it in the paper of general circulation, which just basically means Cambridge Chronicle. So the city clerk said, well, you know, so what's the time frame for this? Well, it depends on whether they can fit it in. You know, if they can fit it in this week, then we can act on it, you know,
They're not going to do that, are they? They're going to put a 19 page. The paper isn't even 19 pages, is it?
But they can always add a page, you know.
That'd be unusual.
It would be unusual, but the thing is that
they'll put it in 2-point font or something.
You know, really, it's just a formality.
Get your readers out.
You know, I question the whole sense in this day and age, internet day and age.
Just have a link
of having newspaper legal notices. That way anyway.
It doesn't make sense because you can go to the library, read it.
Yeah, right. But the law says it has to be advertised, and that's why you pass it to a second reading. At that point, the clerk sends it to the papers for advertising.
Boy,
a certain amount of days have to
That's
going
to change. I can see that change happening.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's a state, federal,
it is a state
city
law, yeah.
That's
And then they can ordain it after it has gone through the appropriate waiting period. You know, we'll see where it goes. So they did pass it to a second reading. Councillor Kelly voted no, not because...
Weren't there two no's?
Councillor Toomey, I believe, also voted no.
I think
largely because it was more of a
the process?
Yeah, they were saying, like, why are you rushing this along? You know, so they voted no for that purpose. So the city will pass it. You know, I think the really interesting part about it, you know, I don't much care about all the stuff that the American Civil Liberties Union was insisting have to be in there. I'm sure it's all wonderful, but, you know, to me, there was a real city charter issue about to what degree can a city council pass an ordinance that dictates how the police chief, or the Cambridge Police Department, which works for the city manager, has to actually carry out their job. You can pass policies, but if you're actually in a, what they were calling an, I forget what the term is, it's exigent circumstances. So like if there's an emergency and the police have to do some kind of a surveillance, you don't want to have to say, well, I'm sorry, we really can't do this because the city council didn't go to the city council and get the okay.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a circumstance where it's warranted, like for example with the marathon bombings or whatever, right. where you had to really sort of step it up.
But I thought that was part of all this. Well, not originally.
So the thing is, in the various revisions, they made sure that they got language in there that did not unfairly tie the hands of the police department. Right. So that even if they have to do that, then it's like a 90 days in which you have to report to the mm-hmm. council what you actually did and why. And
right, right, right.
So that seems like a pretty good compromise.
Yeah.
And I think this is we're the first one on the East Coast doing this. So
really?
It'll probably be, yeah, I mean, there are some places out in Santa, on the West Coast where they've done something like this. So anyway, so it's passed to the second reading, along with the street performer revisions.
Buskers.
The buskers, you know, which has an interesting history itself.
Mm.
I mean, my recollection back in the 90s, because I think I was actually asked to help do some editing or something back then from mutual friends. Stephen Baird was with the, I forget what the name of the entity is, but they were basically drafting the street performer ordinance basically to kind of create a level playing field for performers in Harvard Square primarily, so they weren't basically beating each other up, you know, like, this is my spot.
Because you didn't need a permit or anything like that.
Right,
that
there was... And there was a problem of some performers playing at high volume, drowning out others. Yeah. So they wanted to have a situation where they hired sound monitors to regulate the volume so that you didn't do that.
Mm.
So they actually enacted fees, modest fees, but it was basically to cover the cost
was
of the street,
the $40 fee? Yeah.
Yeah. So now they're doing some, you know, on the floor of the council last night before they passed through the second reading, they were removing all the fees. And I thought to myself.
Because it went down to 15.
It was already, yeah, they dropped it considerably.
And this was Jason Weeks presenting it.
Yeah, and then some city councilors, maybe because they're kind of appealing to some of the low-rent artists or something, but they just says, oh, let's just eliminate all fees, you know, make it a free-for-all.
They were okay for the permit, which makes sense, because I guess you don't even need a permit in Boston. They're quoting Boston,
yeah,
some of them
yeah.
need
so
a permit,
a
but the
different.
Permit... people feel gives the protection and that the artists themselves wanted this. I mean,
yeah,
so I heard two different versions here. I heard Jason Weeks' version of artists saying that they don't mind the fee, and then I heard the counselor's version.
So maybe we'll pick up a little bit more on this in a few minutes because it's actually kind of interesting. So
yes.
See you in a couple of minutes on Inside Out.
All right.